Ian Trottier here from Anaheim again, and this time with a local Southern California guest, Yvette Chambers.
Hello.
Hello, Yvette.
Thank you for talking to me today, and I see that we have a lot in common because I also will not censor myself so that it makes you feel comfortable. As a matter of fact, I think the speakers today at this lovely event here in Anaheim have said, many of them have echoed, that your silence is worse than what the people on the bad side are doing.
So, great. That's a great message.
That hits
the nucleus, the bullseye, because what you're basically saying is what? People need to speak out.
They do.
Right? People need to stop living in fear.
They do.
Stop feeling like, oh, they might offend somebody else.
Right.
You're going to offend somebody. That's just the way
everybody.
It is.
They're all out there wearing a mask.
Wearing a muzzle.
And jumping away from you. And
it's like the perfect kind of, right? It's a perfect screenplay.
It really is.
You get people to wear a mask, be in fear of a virus, and it shuts them up. Naturally, it shuts them up. It covers their mouth. Shut up.
Well, see, in America, I think this thing about covering the mouth isn't hitting all of these very cozy kids who have been born in the United States of America and the comfort of their lovely American neighborhoods with their cul-de-sacs and two-story homes and, you know, gardeners who come in, foreign people who come in and mow their lawn for them. And, you know, I just don't think that a lot of American-born citizens have the idea in their head, because I wasn't myself educated in the United States, but what I have studied is Marxism, because I'm a foreigner, and in foreign countries they actually teach you history, and I don't believe Americans can identify it when they see it. So when I notice a mouth muzzle and ridiculous decrees and edicts that are passed off, I immediately have my radar go up because they don't make sense. But if I had been brainwashed, I guess they might, you know?
So you speak of, first off, Yvette, make an introduction for yourself. Who are you?
My name is Yvette Chambers. I'm a mom and naturalized citizen. Came here from Iran. My parents sent me out here when our country toppled. So, boy, I can recognize Nazism when it comes, or Marxism, whichever you want to call it. It's terrorism and tyranny all the same. Been out here since the 80s, 1980, and my parents lost everything during that war, the Iran War. Americans refer to it as the Iran-Iraq War. I do not. But my father came here in his late 40s, lost everything. He didn't go to Germany, didn't go to Thailand, didn't go to Russia. He came to America. And he worked very hard.
And it was probably a struggle for him to get in.
Absolute struggle. He
did just cross the border.
Just to get here. Took him years. I lived here without my parents for a couple of years before they were able to get into the United States. And when they got here, my father lived with other people and tried to make ends meet. As of now, owns his own business, owns the property, owns his home. Has employees that have worked for him for decades. Has supported them and their families. He's a really good boss. He's employed lots of people. He's built all kinds of things that all of us take for granted that we've seen. Just going into the Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or something. I mean, it's part of Americana. We're part of it. You know, we are foreigners. We're naturalized. But this is who we are. So I recognize this Marxism immediately when it started. And I did my own research, and I began to see conflicts of interest. So I'll have to say my first radar bleep was, wow, there are so many conflicts of interest in everything that they are saying. So my difficulty was swallowing things Fauci was saying when I knew bloody well that Fauci had complete investment in the entire success of this scheme of his. And when I say investment, I mean he literally is making money off of PCR tests, and he's literally making money off of masking us and selling us that vaccine that they call a misnomer. You don't call it a vaccine. You call it an intervention of some sort of medical experiment on the human populace without their consent.
And you're saying that because you have seen patents with his name, or
yes.
companies that he's associated with.
Yes, he's dirty. He's as dirty as a, I don't know, what do the Americans call it, a $3 bill?
I heard a $300 bill before. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no $3 bill. I kind of started looking at the conflicts of interest, and then I started getting really upset when I noticed that my child couldn't go to school, and I started to see the schools starting to
without a mask,
like Nazis. Well, I mean, at the time, there was no school, right? When you look back at 2020, there was no school. Nobody was allowing their kids to go to school, and the only reason that in Los Angeles and even in Orange County and a few other counties here in California allowed their kids to go back to school at the end of the last semester was because they had the vaccine and they wanted to shoot them up with it. I can tell you personally that all the high schoolers were daily asked on that last month of school, do you want your vaccine? We have the vaccine here. Would you like to have your vaccine?
Without authorization from the parent.
Correct.
Just if you want to get the vaccine, correct. I'll give it to you.
Correct. Correct. So I began to look deeper into my constitution, which is why I came here when my country fell apart. Everybody comes to America because America dominates in that spiritual movement for the rest of the world. We all view America not as the iconic baloney of, oh, it's where you get Coca-Cola and pizza. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's really the icon of being a melting pot and a place where freedom reigns so that you can have the freedom to go about if you're willing to, work if you're willing to, hard if you want to work hard, and actually find success. And I can tell you, there are not many places in the world where if you have the will and if you have the strength, there's no path for you to work hard, work continuously, and to be able to amount anything that would be your own. So we are very fortunate in the United States, and I really intended to keep that. So I got an affidavit together, had some people help me write it, and started getting thousands of people to sign them. So I served over 4,000 affidavits in five counties, from Santa Barbara to Ventura to LA to Riverside to San Diego.
It's like a cease and desist.
It is a cease and desist. It was basically really gentle. I think it was maybe too gentle. I've redone them since.
Okay. You wrote it?
The attorneys wrote it, and I just embellished on them so that they fit for what it was that our group was doing. Basically, just that you violated your oath. Really, truly, you violated your oath. You're a board of supervisor. We didn't vote you in there for you to violate the Constitution, which you took an oath to uphold. And I just think it's a total cop-out on their side to constantly have elected judges and stuff on their side saying, oh yeah, we're going to suspend your constitutional rights because there's some scary, unforeseen bug out there.
This is a flu-type virus, a coronavirus.
Correct. Let me just state that under no circumstance should one's rights ever be suspended. Never. Never. For nothing. Because when you diminish one, you've just opened up an avenue to diminish them all. So you never do. There should be an intellectual way to be able to accommodate these Nazis and to be able to allow us to continue to live our lives. And it is really the fault of a lot of people in charge in government and the fault of a lot of people who are sitting as judges. And let me tell everybody who's listening, go find somebody and go learn how to do this. You can learn it online at the .gov sites and start learning how to get rid of your judges. Get rid of them. Recall. It's so easy. We're in the process of a recall right now. So I'll give you some stories. Ventura County.
Yeah.
Ventura County Board of Supervisors got very full of themselves. What a bunch of fools they are. God will judge them. They decided that the businesses, after 9 to 10 months, who had decided, oh my gosh, we must open because we're literally going to fail. They opened as safely as they could. 18 businesses did across Ventura, independent of each other. None of them knew each other. They only knew there were 18 of them because after they were all served multi-million dollar lawsuits with our taxpaying money, they found out in an article in the newspaper that, oh my goodness, there's 18 of us who got served lawsuits who were basically told they were defying the orders, that they were not essential. Does this bother you? That a board of supervisor could tell you, an independent owner of a business, that you were not essential? And right behind you in the same strip mall was a CVS or
totally
Target.
Open.
Totally open. with high school dropouts working there, and children who hadn't even yet finished high school. They were intelligent enough, they were intelligent Americans enough to be following directions. And their boss said, this is how we're going to do it to be safe. And they said, okay, and they did it. And apparently they can do it. So I don't really quite get it. Apparently you don't need a science degree. You just need privilege. And apparently there was some hidden contracts behind all of our backs where the privilege was, oh, CVS drugs, Costco, you know, Bonds, Ralph's, all allowed to be open. Why? If it was really that bad.
Hidden contracts. What are you talking
absolutely.
About there, Yvette?
Well, mom and pop didn't really have any connections with government. Not in California, not in any states. So the mom and pops were never really a...
That's our middle class. That's what makes us thrive.
Don't use middle class anymore either, Ian, because I'm telling you, middle class is then you buying into this idea that there's a class system, and there is not a class system. You're talking about actually...
Middle class is a political sensitive term?
It's not that. I mean, for me, because I've come from a foreign country, I went to school in India for many years. In India, in a boarding school, and there's a major class system there. So I just encourage you to maybe call it something else, so that you're not calling it middle class. It's really where the working class, where the base that's actually paying all the taxes, right? So here you have a board of supervisors serving 18 entities, independent businesses, multi-million dollar lawsuits. We got them all dropped. We served over 1,000 affidavits to the 5 boards of supervisors. We got a wonderful attorney, Rhonda Kennedy. She's running for Congresswoman. For the state of California, so please everybody pay attention if you want a patriot in Congress. So Rhonda defended them, I defended them, many of us got together and defended them, and lo and behold, all the lawsuits are dropped, and we're in the process now of recalling the chair of the Board of Supervisors, Linda Park. She needs to go. You want to talk about criminals and swamps, she's part of the swamp. I feel like if you pull her out, it'll be like the hair clog in your bathtub. All the rest of the water will be able to drain out once we get rid of her, or at least some of it will. So we're in the middle of a recall for Linda Parks, and let's see, on Monday was it? No, it was on Tuesday this week. We were at Agora Hills Council meeting there in the city of LA. They decided, these 5 entities, that they should serve a restaurant with criminal charges because they were non-essential and open. And I beg America to just, for 1 second, listen to what I just said. We've just given our council members the ability to serve a private citizen with criminal charges because they deemed that their egos were bruised because they said so. They said that you're not essential. Who are they? The one important thing I think in this fight is everyone sort of repeating these sort of sound bites. And sometimes the best argument with these strangers is, and who said that? And who told them? Start asking questions. None of it makes sense. You can't sue a business because they're non-essential in your mind. Gee, in that case, I think you boards of supervisors
food
are
sense.
Non-essential, so step down.
Food sounds like a essential, something essential to me.
I think it is, but let's put it this way. It's your business. It's pretty essential if it's your business.
Right.
None of these businesses were really supported. It's not as if they came out and said, what's your payroll, $10,000 a month? What's your rent, $10,000 a month? Great. Gavin Newsom's going to make sure you get a check for $30,000 every month so that, you know, you don't go in the hole. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. I don't know anybody who got any help outside of you filling out the paperwork so that you could get compensated for all the liquid that you squirt on your hand that's toxic, and the masks that you had to buy that's toxic, and the gloves that you put on your hands that are just absolutely inane. I mean, what moron goes and takes money and then goes and makes your taco? I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. A girl goes and gets your pizza you know, it's just ridiculous. And then what? They take the glove off, they go make your food, then they take the next person's money, they put another pair of gloves on. Great, so why don't we just fill the landfill? None of it makes sense. So, served up the affidavits. Now we formed a group, an association called Brave.
Yes.
Businesses Revolutionizing American Values. We're in LA County, and we started in Ventura. We have meetings twice a month. and they are the most inspirational meetings. And you get to come to a meeting whether you're a member or not, and the membership's very inexpensive. And we have a board and everything, and we have an attorney. I mean, it's just an amazing place to go if you want to connect with people. And we together go and serve and do our job, serve as community volunteers. So as a group, we keep in touch with what's happening with the boards of supervisors, the council members, and we call the Army up so that we can all support each other and make a change. And we are indeed doing that. And we are right now trying to remedy that in Santa Barbara also and in LA.
So Yvette, you're basically fighting for some of these inalienable rights, really, that are not being honored for you. They're being taken away from you. What's your reaction to this virus, and what's behind it in your view and in your research?
From what I know, I've been looking at a bit.
With that said, LA County is going back to a mask mandate tonight at 11:59.
Yes, well, apparently they have the bug under orders from Gavin Newsom, so he's being told to stand back until 11:59 tonight when he shall come out into the streets and wreak havoc. I think this is all baloney. And I don't want to get into it with people who want to be demonic about the fact that I'm going to say there's no such thing as COVID. Fine, there's a bug.
Is that what you believe?
Yes, I really do. I really do. And I'll tell you why I do. Because no lab has been allowed to isolate it. Nobody is allowed to make these PCR tests other than the people that have been sanctioned to make these PCR tests. And there was somebody in Germany who started it. And
you're saying
there are very specific people, I am saying, making a profit off of this specific PCR test, which Dr. Mullis conveniently died in 2019. And I remember living in Hollywood when I was younger. And I remember the fight with Dr. Mullis and Dr. Fauci when I was a young girl. And the fight back then was that, you know, this PCR test per Fauci, boy, isn't he a smart dum-dum. You know, he just reminds me of really a person who's gone so wrong and so deep in his take and his scheme that he just doesn't have the ability to acknowledge his own pride and just admit that he was wrong. So, yeah, I've been watching this for a long time, and I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say that that exact same test they gave to gay people in the 80s is the exact identical test that they are giving to people today. So that means, guess what? You're positive for AIDS too. Apparently you were positive for COVID. Well, you're positive for AIDS. Because guess what? You're positive for everything, because PCR is baloney, especially when they do that many rotations. It doesn't work.
Now, you're talking about HIV and the author is slipping my mind, HIV Incorporated. It was a book written back in the 80s.
Yes.
I'm going to insert now a past guest on my show, Judy Mikovits,
yes,
who I know will be speaking this weekend.
Correct.
And she was censored.
Correct. More than censored. Boy, they
jailed.
Tried to, yeah, she was jailed. That's correct.
What
never
are,
charged. Never charged. Remember that.
Never charged.
Never charged.
What are some of the parallels here to these HIV studies in the 80s to what we're seeing today, from what you have found in your research?
Well, my research definitely comes from authors such as Judy. She's written two wonderful books, Plague and Plague of Corruption, both of which I've read, and they're a very good education for Americans. I mean, why don't professors teach those two books? I mean, you can debate them too if you want. Whatever happened to debate, by the way? I think that the AIDS epidemic is something that our governments have created. And I think that the ACT drugs that were given to these poor gentlemen that were lied to, taken advantage of, abused back in the 80s and the 90s, not only are there deaths on the heads of our government, our American government, and believe me, I often say God bless America, but not those particular individuals that were party to this fraud. Those people who took those AZT drugs, they did it to their own detriment, and they did it believing, because Fauci was so strong during that time to say that the AZT drug would control the immune system, and it's just a bucket of hogwash. If you read books You're welcome to read books that are pro and con and start to get an education. And this is what Americans lack. I'm embarrassed at how Americans are so not educated. I'm not trying to be an elitist. I am not an elitist. I come from a family that has worked their whole lives. My parents never had any silver spoons or any of such or any inherited monies. We've always worked. We have a working integrity. I have a working integrity. I have a moral compass. And honestly, your education, do you really believe that you could put it in the hands of teachers in a public school? That's a great beginning, but it cannot be the end all be all. And you cannot function as a real contributing citizen without taking some time away from goof off time and eating potato chips on a couch and doing education. And education means reading books. And look, I love fiction, but you really got to read some real data that's out there, because censorship is real and it's being led by another party. We don't know who. But I can honestly tell you the books are still out there. You're not being censored from reading a book. You're just lazy. Go and educate yourself. Read Judy's book. If you don't like it, go and look up who opposes her and read their book. Make up your own mind.
Yeah, I don't know who Judy's been published by. I don't know who's publishes her work, but certainly there may be some issues there in regards to some of the larger distribution channels and not picking up some of these. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, from my and what I'm saying here, Yvette, is that my book that I've written has an agreement to be published by a small publishing house called Trine Day, and they published Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son. They've published Paul Hellier, who's a high-ranking Canadian official. So they have some great authors, great credentialed folks that are publishing them. But again, some of these stories are being squashed.
Yeah,
you're talking about censorship. So let's get into you've addressed the virus and the research that you've done in regards to the validity behind the threat of the virus. Certainly, a virus of some degree can be shown, whether it's been manipulated and engineered in a lab. That's being debated. It's not giving a platform that justifies a solid debate for Americans, because it's not getting, you know, Tucker Carlson type debate, right, if you will. But
and it should.
So if we get into some of these other strings that are involved in regards to what is really happening here? I mean, it's not.
But
is it Democrat versus Republican, or is there something?
No.
What's happening here?
So listen, again, I go back to this education thing. If you actually believe an asymptomatic person could, you know, kill your grandmother or harm you, then you're a moron. Sorry, I'm going to quote the father on the Goldbergs. My kid loves that show. You're a moron. So get an education, get a book. I'm not asking you to commit night school at your local college. I'm asking you to educate yourself. And I'm not talking about Google. By the way, if you're educating yourself with Google, I'm gonna have to quote the father on the Goldbergs again. You're a moron. Google is a vaccine company. Look at them, look at where they invest. That's called a conflict of interest. If you came to me as a professional and I was making money off of selling you something, but I didn't tell you, and I sold it to you, you came to me as a professional, and I said to you, absolutely, you've got to take this thing, it's going to help you, and you walked away, you paid me money for it, and then later on you found out that I made full profit off of that product I just took you to take. Wouldn't you feel taken? Wouldn't you have some doubt? Well, wake up, America. You've been fooled. It doesn't matter if someone made it in a lab or not for me. It matters for the authorities. Department of Justice, get the thumb out of your tush and get up and get to work. It doesn't matter for me, and it doesn't matter for you, because there's things that we have in our arsenal to be able to handle this. So it doesn't matter if it's fake or some idiot contributed and made it bad. You can still take care of yourself. Notice how the government is not invested in avocados. Notice how they're not invested in broccoli. They're not telling you to go and eat broccoli. If you eat more broccoli, you got a better chance eating cruciferous vegetables on a daily basis. And those cruciferous vegetables on a daily basis will help you to get metals out of your body. They will help you to make sure that you get the whole rainbow of all the vitamins. They will help you to make sure that your iron levels are good. I mean, really, no one's backing them because guess what? Broccoli doesn't have an ability to fund anybody in government or in assembly or in the House or wherever. So they can't be spoken for. They have no voice. So when you start hearing these people on the news media that we all grew up with and came to trust, don't trust them anymore. When they are speaking 100% out of conflicts of interest and speaking 100% on the side of the investors. And maybe not everybody at the news station, but I can tell you majority of them are scratching their heads and going along with it. They know it's wrong. They just want to feed their kids. They just want to pay their mortgage. And I challenge all of you to whistleblow, wake up, save America. You are not saving your children's future or your grandchildren's future by being complicit with something that you know morally is wrong. And even if you don't believe in God, or even if you don't believe in your inalienable rights or a maker, you must have a moral compass somewhere inside you where you learned what good and bad is. You don't need to be just familiar with Christianity to know that. But come along, you've got to have a moral compass. And if you don't, then I'm just going to have to quote the Goldbergs again. You're a moron. I've left you speechless. I like that.
Yeah, no, you have. You've got some great content. And the masks and the vaccines, it sounds like you're being outspoken against mandates on those two things.
Yes.
Were you questioning being born in Iran and having your father go through what he went through and being fortunate enough to reestablish a life in the United States? Were you questioning the motives behind certain politicians in the U.S. government prior to this mask?
Absolutely. England and America, criminals caused Iran to fall. Criminals. Notice the Queen is living in Paris and not in America. Criminals. There are many criminals, but you know what? In my neighborhood, there's a guy down the street, sells tires. I think he's a criminal too. And you know what? I was at a doctor when I was much younger, right down the street from my house. Criminal. So you know what? They're everywhere. So again, use your moral compass. Let whoever it is that guides you speak to you. If it feels wrong, and it feels wrong in your gut, then start pursuing that. Do your own homework and stop coming home and turning on the news and letting it run like diarrhea in your house and being brainwashed by it, because it's very important that you become independent. It didn't take a large majority to create America. I don't know if anybody's paid attention or not, but we don't have a House of Lords. Does anybody want to prove me wrong? We don't have a House of Lords. We did not.
I might try because I'll contend that the financial system is controlled by the City of London.
That's correct. That is correct.
So I might disagree with that.
No, you have a good point. That could be another whole debate. But the good story is that we did have a revolution, and we can do it again.
We had a physical revolution, and we have a geographic divide. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Whether we have an economic divide, I can argue that.
We have a big economic divide. Nobody needs to be as wealthy as some of the people are. And we need to hold them accountable. Being wealthy like the Gates and being able to make all these little companies beneath him so that they could do their investments. Nasty. It's nasty. We know it. And it's not what America was founded on. And you all know it too. And I've heard so many people say stupid, moron things to me like, oh, but look at all the good Gates has done. Well, again, you haven't done your homework. It's very frustrating for those of us who have done homework.
Yeah.
And look, I love a good debate. Enlighten me. Do some homework and come and debate. But don't cancel culture me because you can't answer the question. Don't put me down and humiliate me by saying that I somehow am a criminal to society because of my stance, how it opposes society or that it's wrong. Question everything.
Question everything.
Question everything. When my daughter was getting old enough, not when she was little, because when they're little, you can't put this into their head because they will cross the street. You see, and you have to have them understand the authority at that point because you must take care of them, and they need it. They're too simple. They'll get into a car with any person. They're very simple at that age, very loving. They're godly spirits. They have no malice in their hearts. But when they get to a certain age, it was tough because my daughter said that you told me to question everything, and I said I did.
And she's questioning you on everything.
Always, but they were wonderful because they push you in a direction that not even you knew that you could go. Being questioned puts you deeper into your faith. Being questioned puts you deeper into your ideology, because there might be something you believed in that someone questioned you on and informed you on, and it gave you a chance to get deeper into your ideology and go learn a little bit more. Or go seek somebody out. Go seek out a rabbi. Go seek out a pastor. Go seek out a preacher. Go seek out a principal. Go seek out a director of a company. But begin to ask questions from people and start to learn. Don't take anything for face value.
Appreciate your time. What is the biggest threat facing America today?
If you're
Biden, he would say what?
God, I don't know. I really don't listen to that fool. What would he say?
I would venture to say that he'd say the unvaccinated right now are probably the biggest threat. And then what I feel, being represented from this population, is that he the white male. Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's my
Again,
view. Okay,
Americans,
that's my view.
You've not been educated. Get a book. The only reason you people can actually deal with this critical race theory is because you're all ignorant. Sorry. Did any of you really study Marxism in high school? I just want to know. You were educated in America, were you not?
Yeah. No, I didn't study Marx
so
until
if you studied Marxism,
after high school.
You'd recognize all the talk, all the chitter chatter that's going on with the critical race theory. It's a Marxist playbook. Get an education. Recognize the repeat. For some of you, this is the first time you're hearing these things, so it's shocking to you. It's very easy for you to stand up and say, oh, everybody needs everything equally. No, I don't think so.
Everyone needs the ability to fight to.
Yeah, everybody needs to be
make
able to
equal
have
life.
The ability
yeah,
to
the
make
ability.
An equal life. And that's why America is fantastic. Thank you for pointing that out, Ian. That's what makes America beautiful, is we all have that equal opportunity, okay? But on my way home, I'll be passing through downtown L.A., and it is tent city now. You can see it from the freeway.
Yeah, I saw a lot yesterday.
Yeah. And so if you're going to tell me that I have the exact same rights as those people, yeah, I should. I should
but
have
they also
all
have
the same
rights
opportunities,
you have.
But you can't give them money and not give me money. You can't give them free health and not give me free health. You can't give them free homes and not give me free homes. Now, I think Americans should be educated for free, but I can see now that free education is in exchange for being able to indoctrinate you into their Marxist concepts. So, what is the biggest threat with what you were saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't
what is
know
it?
If
what
I would
the
agree with
threat?
Biden. I think Biden is he's a fool, and he'll be recognized as a fool in history. And the fool actually is one of the most disrespected people in society. Read Shakespeare. Get an education. So I think the biggest threat to society still, till today, is Americans not creating initiatives to take back control of their own local government and their own states. If you don't like it, get off your butt. Stop eating potato chips. Take your potato chips with you at the Board of Supervisors meetings. Make sure you make a mess. Take your potato chips with you to the board meeting for education. Eat there, crunch as loud as you can, just so they know you're there. But don't do it on your couch. Start to get involved. I bet you will hear something that will piss you off. And that's all it takes, is that spark for you to say, I'm going to do something about this. And by the way, you're not going to get paid to do it, because volunteerism is what makes America great. We all contribute to our small local communities. So America, I want to give you all hope that as long as you guys are living and breathing without that silly diaper on your face, you have the ability. And don't look at yourself like, gosh, I can't do what that person does. I'm no Martin Luther King. Oh my goodness, I'm no Gandhi. Well, I can assure you that they are just people.
Yvette Chambers, thank you very much for joining the program. I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Me too.
Ian Trottier here again for Discussions of Truth. We are live now with Mr. Leon Benjamin, who is a personal friend of mine. It's just happened that way, folks, over the course of the past few months. He is a staunch constitutionalist, is what I like to say.
Right.
You know, Leon, I don't even know what party you're a member of. It doesn't really matter. And I just say, hey, those who support the Constitution or those that I support. So, Leon, without further ado, for the first time joining the program, we are in Anaheim for a Reopen America.
Yeah, Reawaken.
Reawaken. I like that. It's being used. Leon. With Clay Clark.
Yes.
Who is also a mutual friend of both of us. Leon, take it away, man. Who are you and what's going on in America?
Yeah, well, again, Leon Benjamin. I'm a pastor of 19 years, New Life Harvest Church, but I recently started the Remnant Church in Jenks, Oklahoma. I call it Clay's Closet. Married 30 years, a beautiful wife.
Why not Maria. Leon's Closet?
Well, look, I like Clay's Closet.
Okay.
Long as God keeps making room in his closet, so it's okay. It's okay, man, you know. To be able to rejoice in another man's dream or vision, you know, if you can rejoice with somebody else, God will help you with yours. Mm. You know, so I love Clay and thank God for him and Vanessa Clark. And what's going on right now, America is in trouble. And if we don't decide what type of life we want to leave for our children, we're not going to have anything for them. And so we're at the crossroads. It's going to be either constitutionalist or what we call communism. Socialists, you know, Marxists, and
how do you know that, Leon? How do you know that?
Because the signs of the time, we start looking at the COVID-19, the tactics, the strategies to shut down America. Who would have thought it only takes 6 months to shut down America's economy that was booming and zooming, booming and zooming. The lowest unemployment for African Americans, Asians, minorities. I mean, across the board, highest employment for African Americans, minorities, Asians, Indians, highest employment for women. I mean, the stock market went up.
Yeah,
triple gains.
It's like 30 over 30,000. I remember it was going crazy.
We became energy independent. We got out of those crazy agreements, the Paris Climate Agreements, you know, the trade, all this stupid
NATO,
stuff.
NATO.
We got
NAFTA. NAFTA.
We took money out of the WHO. You know what I mean?
We were taken from the WHO. I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah, it's like, why are we giving them money? You know?
Right.
And then Biden came back and gave it back to them. Isn't that something? You know, so.
So it sounds like you might be a. You certainly were supporting the policies of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily saying you were a Trump supporter.
I don't know if you can separate the two, because I love that man. He's like my cousin. He's somewhere along the lines. He's my cousin somewhere. He's like on my mama's side, you know. He's a cousin somewhere. But
have you met Donald?
Yes.
You have?
I'm shaking his hand.
Oh, come on now, Leon.
I've been on stage with him.
You've been on stage with him?
I've been on TV with him.
Oh, you met him multiple times?
Yeah. I've done rallies for him.
Why does he talk about deep state? And what is deep state? What is the deep state, Leon?
I think he found out for himself the levers and those that really hold the levers of Washington, D.C.
Now, I know you're from Virginia.
Yeah.
You're using that word levers.
Yeah. The lever, the trigger.
Oh, the levers. Lever. Okay.
Yeah, no, not lovers.
Virginia's for lovers.
Yeah, Virginia, okay. I'm hoping, if we don't get that governor out of there, Virginia's going to be for haters because he's brought so much hate, doesn't want to black back the blue. He's let BLM tear up our cities, Antifa. You know, so it's still Virginia's for lovers, it'd be Virginia's for haters. He let CRT come in, you know? It's just crazy what's going on in Virginia. It's critical race theory, wanting us to hate white people, you know?
Us? Who's us?
Yeah. Wants blacks.
Who's us?
Wants blacks to hate whites.
Are you black?
Sometimes. I choose just to be a believer, you know? You know, but if we don't decide which way we want to go, someone else is. And I don't think I like who's holding the levers right now to decide which way we go. So something has to happen for us to take back our republic.
Yeah.
And to do it in earnest and not apologize, you know? Like, right. oh, I'm sorry that we want to make our own minds up about whether to take the vaccines or not. Like, we start apologizing for that. Oh, I apologize that I don't want to wear a mask that's holding all my germs and sicknesses, and I'm just blowing it back in and then breathing it back in and blowing it back out. Why are we apologizing for things that are actually killing us?
So let me tell you some. So I brought with me to this convention, Leon, a guy named Darren Gobb, and he's a retired lieutenant colonel. Okay. He's putting together a coalition, state by state, to try and reinstitute these freedoms, okay, that are being taken away from. This is a guy that spent 30 years in the military, and I met him in the state of Montana, where I've recently met Richard Mack, the sheriff, constitutional sheriff.
Yes.
Okay, I think he's speaking at this event. With Darren, he refuses to wear a mask, similar to Ian Smith.
Yes.
Right? They refuse to wear masks. Ian, I know, had driven to an event, the event in Tampa. That's what he told me, anyway.
Yes.
Darren drove from Montana to L.A. because he refused to get on a plane with a mask. Where do you lie on that, Leon?
Well, look.
And I can answer that question. You're curious about me, but where do you lie on that?
I'm doing what I call prophesying to the winds. I am speaking because I fly, so I put the mask on, but I put it in civil disobedience. I pull it down. But I know, like the prophet Ezekiel, who he had to sit where they sat. So I'm sitting where the people sit that are in captivity, in bondage, and I am now have developed a capacity to know that this has to end. And if they won't end it, God will. If they won't stop it, God will. And this is where the patriots and believers are rising up. The church, our Christian Judeo roots are now being restored, reawakened, you know, revived. 1776, you know, the George Washingtons, the, you know, the Patrick Henrys, you know, the Thomas Jeffersons, the Frederick Douglasses, the Martin Luther Kings, you know, all of these things are rising up right now. And I believe it's not by mistake or by accident that people are coming together to say enough is enough. And when we do that, that's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. Heal. That's what we want. Don't just forgive my sins and then I'm forgiven, but I'm still broke. Really? I'm forgiven, but I'm still sick. No, heal the land. Heal the land. Don't just say, I forgive you. Right? Heal this land. America needs healing right now.
And you see that happening? Do you see that happening? You see that building up?
I see it building up, and the enemies of our Constitution and flag and family and God, country and guns is shaking in their boots.
Oh.
We're like the children of Israel crossing the Jordan. It says the hearts of the Canaanite melted because of the children of Israel. Their hearts are melting. Oh, God.
Leon, you started, or Clay started his movement in Tulsa, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And coincidentally enough, I don't believe in coincidences, but whatever it may be, you and I had met. We were just talking about this before the recording in the show. You and I had met on the steps of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Because I was seeking out another friend of mine, Joe Collins.
Yes, ran for Congress.
Who I'd met. He was trying to unseat Maxine Waters down here in Southern California. I'd met him initially in Miami in October at a convention called AmpFest.
Yeah.
The point is this. Clay starts his show in Tulsa. And then there's an event in Tampa, and there's an event from what I know that we're happening here in Anaheim. Have you seen a difference from Tulsa to now just in 4 months?
Absolutely.
What's the difference, Leon?
The difference is more people now feel that they can do something about this.
Wow. Wow.
Not just two, not just General Flynn, not just Lindell, not just Linwood, not just Sidney Powell. Ooh. Come on, not just the ones we've seen out front, but now the confidence of the average guy. I always like to use the word average guy. The okay. average person who says, what can I do? It's a groundswell. So you got people saying, I went to a city council meeting. I went to a school board meeting. I told them no more CRT and we're not wearing masks anymore and our children are not learning this curriculum. I mean,
you're hearing this.
Where did you come from? These are moms and just...
You're hearing this.
Yes.
Firsthand.
Yes.
People coming to you saying this.
I've even went to some of the demonstrations. I went to a CRT, anti-CRT rally in Virginia. And they invited me there. I was like, these people are sitting here while the school board is meeting. And they're saying, no, this has to stop. We're not letting our kids come to this school if you're going to let them learn critical race theory.
Wow.
They weren't on the scene before. Where are they coming from? They're coming out of the, as the scripture says, off of the wall and out of the graves.
So Leon, we can say that what Clay is doing here, because Clay's a business guy, and was he a pastor?
I call him a marketplace apostle, but he says I'm not a pastor, so that's why he called us over to help him raise up, you know, the Remnant Church in Jinx. So I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit deal with Clay. Okay.
Okay. So whatever he's doing, he started a grassroots movement.
Yeah.
And. I haven't been into the. I haven't seen the crowd, man. I've been over here in this meeting.
They're
room.
Out there. I passed through. I mean, they got an overflow.
Overflow.
Just as big as what's inside.
Just as big as what's inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chaos. Is it chaotic? Not chaotic, but it's overwhelming.
Well, it's chaotic order.
Chaotic order.
In the midst of chaos, people are aligning themselves back with the Constitution, back with the Bible. Back with a relationship with their fellow man, fellow countryman, and with God.
And with the roots that developed this country.
Yeah. Chaotic order.
Yeah. Leon, what's the real underlying reason, in your view, to this turmoil facing America today? Is there one underlying turmoil?
It can only be one.
So you're talking about...
It can only be one reason why this is happening.
Yeah.
We have forsaken God and His Word. And He just wants us to come back to Him. He says, I love you. I love you like a father loves his children. I love you like a husband loves his wife. And though we have been unfaithful, He says, I am still married to you. I am married to the backslider. Come back to me. Come back right now. This is the only reason why... And it's not that He did it. He just stepped back and allowed the enemy of our land and our country and our Constitution creep in. He allowed it. He didn't want it, but he had to show us how deep, you know, how backslidden we have gotten.
Right.
As Americans, and I'm in it too, so I'm not acting like I'm on the outside. I'm going through this too. Right?
Right.
So we all got to repent. Yeah, we all got to repent. So I hate those ones talking about those people. What do you mean those people? We're all in this. And we all got to repent. And Lord, help us get back. And that's what's happening right now. And so that's the reason why this is all happening. No, we can talk about the economy. We can talk about the education. We can talk about the family and all those things. But the main reason is we have left God. And God wants us back. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He said that thou shalt have no other gods before.
Leon, what happens here in the next year? What do you see unfolding? You've got a major fight in Arizona with the recount.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, you've got this battle against the critical race theory.
Yeah.
What happens in a year of time in this country?
Well, I will prophesy this. I prophesy that after the truth comes out in Arizona...
That and you think it will?
It will. It will ricochet to Georgia, then Michigan, And then other states would then begin to get the boldness. Like, I'm in Virginia. I run an organization called Virginians for America First. We don't have a majority in the state house of delegates.
Did you know Alice Short?
Yeah. Yeah. Fighters, right? We're running a ground game where we're getting back to the roots of clear voter election transparency. Well, we know what's going on in the registrar's office. We know what's going on in the precincts. We know what's going on election day and even 45 days out from election. We know everything that's going on. Unlike what happened in previous years, where we didn't know what the heck was going on. People putting up cardboards over the window so we can't even see the ballots. That ain't happening no more. And so what's going to happen in the next few months to a year is that more transparency is going to come forth, and someone is going to have to make the decision. Let's say this: America is going to have to make the decision what to do with, from the president to the local city council. What do we do with those people who say they won an election, but they didn't do it fair and just and with integrity? What do we do with those people?
What do you mean by that, Leon? What do you mean by that?
We are in a situation where this has never happened before. You know, people have always tried to steal elections, right? But all the way up to the presidency, we've never had an...
Not in America, right? Not that we know of.
Not that we know of. So this is new territory for us. So I pray for the courage and the boldness of the American people.
But like you're saying, what happens if what Arizona's doing, if that reverberates, like you're saying, and truth does come out?
Yeah.
What happens to the people that want Biden versus the people that elected Trump?
Remember, if the actual votes come out,
yeah,
that were not Biden, there actually is no people that want him. What people?
Oh, Leon.
What people? Some more digital people? What people? If the truth actually comes out, there isn't enough people that want it.
So this movement's growing. What do we do? We continue.
Right now, what we're
fighting the fight.
We stay in there. We hang in there, but we get more local. We get more local activated. So we teach people, train people, educate people to get more locally involved. More and more and more and more. That's what needs to happen while we're waiting for the things to overturn or the things to change.
Get more local.
Yeah.
Plant those seeds.
Right.
Let them grow.
Right.
Weed out the weeds.
Right. 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 So we don't want to be inactive, dormant, lazy, passive, pessimistic, you know, negative. No, we can do something about it. We have to be bold enough, though. We got to get rid of the spirit of fear, and we got to get involved.
Leon, as we wind down here and we wrap things up, who are you? You're running for a Senate seat?
Congress.
Are you running for a congressional seat?
Yeah.
U.S. congressional seat?
House of Representatives is what it is.
House of Representatives, Congress. Yeah. You ran your Congress seat. Sounds like Donald is behind you? Does he endorse you?
Look, I can't speak for him, but I know he's watching me.
Okay, so he hasn't verbally said yet. Leon's my man?
He's watching me. So
I'm saying that.
So I look, when it comes out, that's up to him, but I know he knows what I'm doing.
He knows what you're doing. You've been on stage with him.
Yeah.
You've been on camera with him. That's really neither here nor there. Again, at the end of the day, it's about fighting for our constitutional rights.
Right.
So we really need to transcend any type of political divide.
Right.
But you're running for a congressional seat out of Virginia. And where can people find... You have books? Do you have talk show? What are you doing?
They can go to my website for right now, BenjaminForCongress.com. I am coming out with a podcast dealing with the family and Constitution and the black family. I'm coming out with a podcast, and I'm getting on some other podcasts and just putting the word out there. I'm writing a book. It'll be out in about a month and a half or so, called The Keys to Successful Marriage. So they can actually text the word books to 94253, and they can get a little hint a little taste of what that they can pre-order. So they text the word books to 94253.
And
they'll be able to hit me on that.
And to wrap things up here, Leon, tell us some other, you're talking about identifying, you identify with the Black community, whatever that means, but who are some of the, you know, you mentioned Martin Luther King, right? And even, you know, I've looked at some old Malcolm X stuff, man, and that guy was so knowledgeable, and he knew what was happening to the Black community, where I'd really never really listened to some of his information and his wisdom. But who are some of the leaders today? We mentioned Joe Collins. Who are some of the? I mean, there's Candace. Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Who are some of the Black leaders today that are identifying with what you're doing in Virginia?
Yeah. Well, right now, you know, Aveda King is not in Virginia, but she is definitely one that's out there.
Atlanta.
Right now. She's in Atlanta. And she's pro-life too, speaking for the voice of the unborn.
Granddaughter?
The nephew of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She's the niece. She's out there, and she's moving very strong right now. I think what's happening also right now is that we're getting what I call some of the unknowns that are out there. They don't even have a face. But they're stepping into the scene, and this is really going to be about the people that sometimes people never thought, like Jephthah in the Bible. Jephthah jumped out there; he was the son, his mother was a harlot, and Israel got into trouble, and they didn't have nobody else to fight for them. So guess who they got? The son of a harlot, and made him their ruler. Because no one else would fight or defend Israel. That's what's happened to America. People who they never even heard of. You know, Pastor Mark Burns is out there going strong right now. You know, there's some guys that's working with the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Dean Nelson. It's another one that's fighting very hard. Now, he's in Virginia. So we got some people that wanna do something. But again, it's the ones, like I said, like the Jephthahs, the Gideons. You know, everybody thinks Gideon was famous. Gideon was a guy hiding behind the wine press trying to hide the wheat from the Midianites. He was hiding when God called him to fight on behalf of the Israelites. So there are a lot of people in America that's been hiding. They've been hiding, the real heroes have been hiding, and God is saying, get from out from under that bush and get over here and stand with your people. And I'll be with you, thou mighty man of valor. I'm even saying that to you.
I think you are saying it to me.
I am. Get from under. You
go.
Don't you dare stand behind no bush on anyone's shadow. You stand tall, Ian, because it's your season, man. You're a Gideon. You're a Gideonite. And you're going to whoop the Midianites of America. All right? You're going to take them out. And you don't need 30,000.
Leon, you're the man. Folks, Leon Benjamin, it's my pleasure. Text.
Oh, they can text 94253.
Books.
The word books to 94253. And I can keep them updated on what's going on. And also, they go to my website at Benjamin4Congress.com. That's my campaign website. My church website is newlifeharvestchurch.org.
Until next time, Leon, be awesome.